Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message. I am glad to see you all here this morning. You're probably like, I don't know if I'm glad to see you here this morning yet. We're glad. I just want to bless you this morning. And Pat already gave an awesome blessing toward everybody, for everybody this morning. But I just want to continue that God would just anoint you to hear what he's saying this morning. And I just pray also that whatever is of him and that you hear it this morning, it would get into your spirit and it would never leave. And whatever is not of him, may it be as your ears never heard it, but it would just, whatever God has for you, would just come in and sink in and touch you. And I pray most of all, when we leave here today, that you're more in love with Jesus, that you're more secure in his love for you, and that you're on fire for him so much that you can't help but speak about him to everybody that you see. Because that's what he wants. He wants you to live in this place where you know you're secure in his love for you. So secure, so sure of it, that wherever you go, you walk in that love and you're so excited because you want everybody else to experience the love that you have experienced. The love and forgiveness of God. So I just want to bless you with that this morning as we go on. I'm going to be starting, and if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be starting in Matthew chapter 5. It's a familiar verse because we've been talking about it. And today's message title. Now, this title has been changed millions of times in the last week, ever since Pastor Hannah asked me to preach. There were so many, and then it hit me this morning. The title for this message is, You Are a City on a Hill, because there's a bigger picture. You are a city on a hill, because there is a bigger picture. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. And as I was studying this week, God led me back to this, and I read this over and over, and then it dawned on me as he was speaking to me through this. It starts in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Here's our key verses. You are the light of the world. Let that sink in. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket and put it on a lampstand, but put it on a lampstand, and it gives light for all to see who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I read that time and time again. God, I've read this before. I know what it says. You're the light of the world. And as I was sitting there and I was thinking, Jesus was like, no, listen. You are the light of the world. And I was thinking, yes, God, I know. I want to be the light of the world. I want to be that shining city on a hill. I want our church to be a shining city on a hill. I want it to be a beacon where people can come and see you and come and be blessed and amazed at all of who you are. I want to be that shining city. I want to be that light. And he's like, you are that light. No, God, I really want to be the light. I want to be the light. I want to be excited. I want people to know your love. I want people to do all these things. And he's like, you are the light. Caleb, listen. You are the light. See, when you choose, because God chose you, but when you choose him, you say, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to be born again. I want to follow you as my Savior and Lord. The thing that happens to you is you become a light to the world. You are no longer walking in darkness. You don't walk as others do anymore. You are the light of the world. Whether you choose to, which you did, you may not have realized it, but he's saying it here. He says, this is to his disciples. You are a light in the world. So much so that he uses an example. He's saying, you're such a light, it's like a city shining on a hill. Because that's what it says here. He says, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And that hit me so hard. You're the light. There's a responsibility in that. Who? You mean I'm the light, God, even when I'm driving down the road? And this is a true story. Just yesterday, and I'm preaching to myself as I'm driving Haley down to the park, down at Stort Park. We're driving down 13, and we get behind somebody, and they're going 40 miles an hour on 13. 40 miles an hour. Bless him. I have no idea why he was going 40 in the 55 and everybody else. He was going so slow that somebody actually passed him on the right. And we're not like he was stopped and he goes around. I'm talking, they were going 40 miles an hour. Somebody turned on their blinker to the right. I'm like, what? He's going to do this. And he goes around him on the right side. I'm going, Haley, bless that man. But see, when you realize that you're the light of the world and others are looking at you, I have to be the light of the world, even though everything inside me goes, why are you going 40 miles an hour in a 55? We all have got to get going. Why are you doing this? That's not being the light of the world. Being the light of the world is seeing that and saying, bless you. I have no idea why this guy was going 40 miles an hour. No idea. He could have been having a bad day. It could have been he was scared. He could have been a lot of things. But in me was this struggle. Ram him in the back or pray. Jesus says you are the light of the world. A city on a hill, you cannot hide that. There's a responsibility in that. And we shouldn't take it lightly. I think sometimes we take it for granted, or we don't even think of it. These powerful words right here of Jesus, when he's saying, when you're my disciple, this is what it's like for you. There is no choice in the matter. This is who you are. This is an identity statement right here. It's like saying, a shark swims in the ocean. Duh, that's what it does. That's what it is. Jesus is saying here, when you're my disciple, this is who you are. This is what you do. You shine so brightly, you're like a shining city on the hill that everybody can see. And trust me, they looking. Even when you don't think they are. Especially when you proclaim the name of Christ, when it's easy. Oh yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. Then 20 minutes later, you receive a bad report card in your school, and you're cursing out the teacher. Other people see that. Other people heard you. And why is it important? Why did Jesus say this? Because he wants you to know who you are in him and what he's done for you. But even more important, like I said, there's a bigger picture. There's a reason why you're sitting on a hill. There's a reason why you're that shining city, that light. He says in verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works, and here it is, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. There's a bigger picture. There's an eternity at stake. There's a reason why you are the light of the world. There's a reason why he called you out There's a reason why he said this. There's a reason why he emphasized how bright you shine. And the reason is because other people see you, whether you don't know it or not. They see you being the light of the world, and they're going to ask you, how can you praise God when this has happened to you? How can you thank God when this is happening in our country and that's happening over there and there's war coming down over there? How can you have hope? How can you have peace? They see the light on you. Then you can tell them there is a God in heaven. His name is Jesus, and you too can have this peace. You too can have this joy no matter what. And then they'll glorify him. It's all about his glory. Amen. Wow. This is why it's important. But there are things in our lives, like I was stating about that car going 45 down or 40 down the road. Not only that, life happens to us. And sometimes we forget we're the light of the world. I got this morning. When hope is dashed upon the rocks of expectation, we get let down. God, I'm living for you. I'm doing all these things for you. I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing these ministries and things like this. And I have in my head an expectation of what I want God to do in my life. I want to lead my own ministry. I want to be a pastor of my own church. I want to do all those things. But sometimes what I think is going to happen does not happen. So I get let down because I thought something was going to happen and it didn't happen. And I get let down and my hope and my trust is dashed upon the rocks of this expectation in my mind that was never really God's plan for you, but we make these plans in our minds thinking that that's what's happening because we think that's where God is leading us down. So we get so caught up in, this is going to be the outcome. If I do this, this is going to be the outcome and great things are going to happen. I'm going to be doing this ministry. I'm going to be preaching here. I'm going to be pastoring here. I'm going to be doing all these things. Then it doesn't happen. Then all of a sudden, I don't act so much like the light of the world. And things in your heart, your trust, you hurt. And I'm just using those things as an example because that's where I deal with things. But you too, you know, as you pray to God, God, I want you to use me. I want to be that shining light on the hill. I want to be that shining light. And I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to do that. But maybe he says, yeah, that's great that you want to do those things, but I have this for you. Why? Because I have a bigger picture with eternity. Because the people that I'm going to put you in contact with, that you're going to be a shining light to, need you to be that shining light where I put you, even if it's not where you thought you would be. But I need you, I want you to be in this spot at this time because she's going to encounter you and you're going to change her life because of the light she sees in you. We say to God all the time, I'm willing to pay any price for somebody to come and get, you know, get Jesus. I will go to Africa. I will go to Australia with the snakes and the spiders and the crocodiles and all the other goodies they have going on there. I'm willing to do that, God. I will even die if that's what it means. But he's like, what about coming in on a Friday night and cleaning the toilets because somebody's going to come down the street and knock on the front door and say, I need help, and I don't know where to go. My hope and my expectation was I'd go to the nations. I'd be going on adventures. I'd be going all over the place. But God doesn't want me to do that now. And I could be let down because of that. Because I'm putting my hope in an outcome that I think I need. But because I do what he's asking me to do, the person that we encounter could be changed for eternity. Wow. Wow. I just want that to sink in, guys. There is such a testimony. Pat was talking about the testimony earlier today. It says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There's going to be testimonies because even when I hurt, because I don't get the outcome that I wanted, but I turn and I yield to what God has for me, and I am where he wants me to be. There's going to be testimonies because people are going to encounter him through me, and that's going to change lives. And that's where we got to keep our minds set on. Wherever I am is where he wants me to be, and where he wants me to be is a place of encounter. There's God encounters for all of us. I need you to be the light of the world. Your wife, your husband needs you to be the light of the world. Even when you're hurt because of an outcome that you didn't expect. And these outcomes are very big. It's not just about not going on a mission trip. Sometimes our dashed hopes and dashed expectations is because there's a bad medical report. God, I thought we were going to do this together. But she can't. She's sick. She can't go no more. It's hard to be the light of the world when you hear that. It's hard when there's a dashed expectation. When your hope is dashed upon those rocks, serious things happen in our world. We all know this. Very bad, hurtful things happen, and the outcome that we thought was coming doesn't come. Can I still be the light of the world in those situations? He's saying, not only can you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. I had so many stories, but we're running late. I just want to encourage you with this. Caleb, how can you get over this dashed expectation, this outcome, the thing that tears at your trust, the thing that tears at what you have loved? It's this in mind. It's praying that God will still give me this vision of eternity and that I want what he wants more than what I want for myself, because I know what he wants for me is greater than I want for myself, because I can't see the end from the beginning. He can see the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He knew you when you were born. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He knit you together. He knows what he wants you to do in your life. So I have to know that, trusting him, even though my trust has been broken and it hurts. God, I hurt right now, but I trust you know what's good for me. It says in Romans chapter 8, 28, that he's working all things out for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Then it goes on to say, why does he do this? Why does he allow these things to happen in our lives? And everything is going to work out for the good. It may not seem like it at the time. He's like, God, why is it good for me to get in a car crash? Why is it good for this to happen? Why is it good? I don't know. But I do know that God is good. I do know that God loves me. And I do know that he has promised me that whatever happens to me in my life will work out for my good. And how's it so? Because he promises a few verses later, he says, because of everything that you've gone through, it was going to form me and shape me and mold me into Christ's likeness. That's what he wants in your life. He just doesn't want you to be going through this world with him. He wants you to be transformed into the likeness of his son. So when you encounter these bad outcomes, you handle it like Jesus handled it. And not like we handle it. Because we handle it by ramming in some guy's back end because he's going 40 down the street. Amen. Jesus prays for that person, tries to understand why they are doing that. So to overcome, what I have experienced in my life when I have been suffered setbacks and failures and things that just don't make any sense. And this is hard. This is not easy. This is a, you know, like you have to set your mind to do this. I worship him for all who he is. He is worthy of our worship. No matter what's happening in your life, and it could be very bad, and I don't want to lighten that up because there's a lot of things that happen in a lot of people's lives. I worship him. Then he changes it. Just back in 2018, I was going through this hard time of struggle, and I was like, nothing good is happening. God, you're just not, nothing's happening in my life that I would expect by now. I thought I'd be doing this. I thought I'd be going here. I thought I'd be preaching here and doing this. But everything was so mundane. Nothing seemed to be happening. And I was laying next to Nat, and I was like, I don't think I matter. I don't think what I've done matters. And she's like, what are you talking about? All these people that you've touched, all these people that you encounter, and all these people who love you. And I'm like, I just don't think it means anything. And I was like, ugh. And she's like, let's worship him. And I tell you, as soon as I started to worship the Lord, all that junk, that lie, that dashed expectation left. And I was... went from worship, then I got to praise him. I praised him for all he has done. I praise him because, Jesus, you saved me. Jesus, you've got great plans for me. Jesus, you are doing such awesome and amazing things in my life. Even if I can't see it with my own eyes, I know you are touching people through my life. Another thing that I do is I remember. I remember where he has been faithful. And he has, boys. He has been faithful. He has been faithful. Even in the toughest spots, he has been faithful. And I've seen him be faithful in other people's lives. And I've seen him be faithful in my life. So when you encounter these unrealized expectations of God and your life has seemed to let you down, look to his word. See where God has met people with his promises. Look into the lives of others and see where God has met it. And look back upon your life where he has met you in your worst spots. He says he is faithful even when we are not. He is faithful. To look upon that. And another thing is by faith, even this could be so hard sometimes, by faith, thank God for what he's going to do in the future. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know what it looks like for me. But I know he's got great plans for you. And I know he's got great plans for me. And because I know he loves me, he is good. If you know anything else from today, know this one thing. God is good. God is good. He is good. He's got awesome plans for you. Thank you, Lord, for the plans that you have for me. Thank you, Lord, for the plans you have for them. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in their lives. Thank you, God, that when they see what you're doing and they realize that they finally get a handle on what you're doing, they can let go of what they think they needed. They can let go of what they think their dreams were. And they can grasp to what your dream is for them. And that they go after it with all their heart. And I want to end with this, just because this made me almost cry a few times this week. I like history, as you all know, but history, if it doesn't bring you to a spiritual outcome in Jesus, is just head knowledge. It doesn't mean much. So I like to talk about history that leads you to thanking God. And somebody I know from history that could have really not been a shining light on the hill and would have had the, you know, I wouldn't say the right to, but kind of, you wouldn't expect them not to not want, you know, like you would expect them not to do it, is the Ten Boom family, Corrie Ten Boom. Everybody knows Corrie, and rightfully so, she was an amazing person. But what a lot of people don't know is her sister, Betsy, who was in prison right alongside with her. And it turns out that Betsy is usually the, like when you read their story, the hiding place, it's usually her who's like the most faithful of them. You know, Corey's always like questioning, oh God, you know, like, should we pray for them? And Betsy's like, yes, Corey. Because there's a famous one where the Germans are bombing Holland. They're bombing the Netherlands. And Betsy starts praying for the people. She's like, God, bless the people who are getting bombed tonight. And also bless the men and touch the men who are in those planes dropping those bombs. And Corey's like, I ain't going to do that. They're killing us. But Betsy's like, no, they're already dead inside. They need that love of God more than anybody else. And so if you know the story, her family, the Ten Boone family, her father and Corey and Betsy and their family took in Jews during the Holocaust when the Nazis occupied the Netherlands. And for years, they hid the hiding place. They hid the Jews that people were getting persecuted and killed. And at one point, they got turned in, so the Nazis came and took them away, and they went to the prison camps. And because of that, her father, who was in his 70s, I think, died from the flu. They let him out, but he got sick from the people who were in there, and he died. And then they got word that their father died. And yet, Betsy still prayed for them. And then, when they're in this prison camp, they're put in the worst of conditions. You know, they're put in bunks with lice and fleas, which reminds me, I've got a message on that that I really want to do. So they're living in this camp in the worst horrible conditions. And as you know, there's a prison guard who just takes pleasure in hurting those women. And it was this other woman who they called like the Colonel something. And she's just like really mean to everybody. But yet Betsy's praying for them. And they somehow get a Bible smuggled in. And they're leading Bible studies in this prison. Ooh. And just God is using them, even in the hardest of spots. You know, like, talk about dashed expectations. Your life, you are living a great thing, then all of a sudden, it gets taken from you. And not only that, your family starts to die because of what these people are doing to you. And at the end, Betsy ends up dying. And Corey's the one who lives and ends to tell these stories. But the last words that Betsy told Corey before she died was this. And this I found so amazing. This is her last words. And she goes, Corey, you must tell the people what we've learned here. We must tell them that there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. They will listen to us, Corey, because we have been here. I don't understand some of the pits that we go through. And I don't know where you've been. But I do know that you're a light shining on a hill. You are the light of the world. And I do know there's no pit that you've been that God hasn't gone deeper still. So no matter where you're at, God is deeper still. You can be the light of the world because you are the light of the world. I just want to bless you with that this morning. I want you to carry that with you. You are the light of the world. Don't let you think anything different. You are the light of the world because Jesus is in you and he's doing his thing because it's an eternity. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on eternity. It's not to say that what we're going through isn't hard because it is. But keep your eyes on him and keep eternity in your heart.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.